It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It would be a first since the car industry bankruptcies of 6 years ago. Auto workers could strike by midnight. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Union workers in the U.S. have notified Chrysler Fiat that their current contract ends tonight, which signals a possible strike. Union members rejected a deal proposed by union leadership, and negotiations are continuing now. Aaron Sojourner is an expert on labor economics at the University of Michigan's Carlson School of Management.
One of the big issues is the lower tier contract. There's no path built into this deal that would have gotten them to the higher tier of pay. And I think there was a lot of dissatisfaction, the lack of a path forward for them.
It's also the case that car sales are pretty strong these days. I mean, it must be auto workers are aware that times may not get much better than this. Now's the time for making these asks.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now sales are strong. They feel it's time to make up for lost ground. The tentative agreement did have some raises, and the workers felt it wasn't enough, and they delivered a pretty stinging rebuke to the leadership.
But Fiat Chrysler is the weakest of the Detroit three. Any sense that the union is overreaching here?
They picked Fiat Chrysler, in full knowledge that it's sort of the weakest company, and it seems like they wanted to make gains here to bring up the bottom of the pattern. But then they weren't able to deliver at the table in a way that members felt was good enough. It feels like workers are itching for bigger gains and ready to, and the leadership now is in a position where they sort of have to give them a fight just to deliver that message that they need to do better. Or it's also possible it could be a very long drag out conflict.
Aaron Sojourner is a professor at the University of Minnesota. Professor, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Experts say it's tough to predict how long a strike, if it comes to that, would last. Volkswagen sources told a German newspaper that the company could start repairs on emission systems of 11 million vehicles worldwide by the new year, and that fixes could take a year or more. Many of VW's small diesel engines were rigged to cheat emissions tests and overpollute. VW is avoiding the term recall since the company doesn't see this as a safety issue. Excessive levels of nitrous oxides are linked to asthma and other health problems. We haven't forgotten the mess of this summer on markets, where volatility seems to have wrong-footed a lot of hedge funds, those investment vehicles for the sophisticated. The Financial Times today calculates that hedge funds in August had the worst month since, listen to the month, since October of 2008. Quincy Crosby is market strategist at Prudential Financial.
It was really bad. What's interesting about this is that the U.S. average American who had money in mutual funds started to get nervous about the markets in August and even July, taking their money out and going into cash and thinking things are going to get nasty and waiting for the market to pull back. It's kind of amazing because the hedge funds are considered the smart money. And the retail investor, Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Main Street, they're considered the dumb money. Who is smart and who is dumb?
Now, of course, if you're at a hedge fund, you might say, hey, wait a minute, in the fullness of time, we might be right.
Exactly. One of the reasons that the fourth quarter is actually very strong is that you have what's called window dressing, performance enhancing, and many of the mutual funds and the hedge funds will get their performance for the year up in the last couple of months of the year. So they still have time to recuperate and get that number up and show that hedge funds are the smart money after all. But you know what? The retail investor has proven that he and she, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, are very smart too.
All right. Quincy Crosby at Prudential Financial, thank you for this.
Thank you, David. Bye.
Now, Urban Schools, University of Washington Center on Reinventing Public Education, took a look at school improvement and educational opportunity in 50 cities and found performance not improving much or at all. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott has more.
The report found what it calls staggering inequities for poor students and students of color. Across 50 cities, from Oakland to Houston to Newark, white students were four times as likely as black students to attend a high-performing school. Black students, meanwhile, were twice as likely to get out-of-school suspensions.
It's a pretty discouraging picture if you look across all of the cities.
Mike DeArmond is one of the report's authors. When it comes to overall achievement, he says 40% of the lowest performing schools were stuck at the bottom 3 years later. But he says a few cities were able to improve schools that started at the bottom.
In New Orleans, the schools that started in that bottom 5% went to zero. So none of them stayed there for 3 years running. And the same in Washington, D.C.
The report doesn't draw any conclusions about what's working in those cities. DeArmond says he hopes the report will be a conversation starter to help cities make their school systems work better for all students. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Some official questions now after published reports suggested an employee at a fantasy sports betting site used inside information to make money on a rival site. New York's attorney general sent letters to the companies, DraftKings and FanDuel, wanting to know what they know. If corruption is confirmed, it's a problem, says Keith Miller, professor of gaming law at Drake.
It's one of the biggest threats to the daily fantasy sports industry that they have ever faced. And they have drawn the attention of regulators and legislators, state attorneys general, and their back is against the wall. It really could not have come at a worse time for them because they have so much visibility due to all the advertising that they have on television.
Fantasy betting lets you build fake teams using the statistics of real players and face off against other people's virtual teams. There's something mesmerizing about swiping left or right on a smartphone. Dating apps like Tinder have demonstrated this. Now the swipes are coming to people looking for jobs. From KPCC, Brian Watt filed this report.
So email marketing and inbound sales specialist. This looks nice. It's
27-year-old Arielle Levine is sitting in a Santa Monica coffee shop sifting through job openings on her smartphone using an app called Jobber.
They need to know about email marketing, best practices, spam laws.
She likes this job, so she swipes right to apply for it. A swipe to the left would mean she's taking a pass.
I think the swipe is such an awesome feature. It's fun, it's creative, and it really lets me have the power.
Power is not something she's accustomed to feeling as a job hunter. She's filled out plenty of applications online and never heard back. She felt like just another resume in a cyber stack.
Then I got this app. It's been 2 weeks. I've already had two interviews lined up. I'm just really exposed to jobs that would have never come my way if I had just tried looking on other, you know, job recruiting sites.
Jobber launched in May of last year, and its creators say it recently passed 50 million job views. It's not the only job searching app. There's also Switch, and there's Anthology, which used to be called Poachable. Todd Raffel is editor-in-chief at ERE Media, a recruiting information firm. He says the companies that pay to list jobs on these apps are mainly in industries like tech, where the competition for talent is fierce.
So companies want to convey to job seekers just through the job application process that, yeah, we're hip, we're cool, we're with it, that this application process is somewhat emblematic of what it's like to work there.
But he says businesses need to keep this in mind.
People are less likely to finish their job applications when they start them on a smartphone versus a desktop or laptop or something like that with, you know, keys like we used to use in the old days.
So on a smartphone, the shorter the application, the better. I'm Brian Watt for Marketplace.
from studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today as the towering marketplace Space Needle in New York gets an overhaul. That's hyperbole, by the way. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.